how many of you there are. So this just in, you know, we have a growing number of what I'm going to call non-local members who listen to us online. And so we have an email from Anne, our friend in England. You've said hello to her before. She says, "We don't have Thanksgiving over here, more's the pity. But I would like to wish you and all of Unity of Wimberley a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm so grateful to have been introduced to you, grateful for the welcome I've received, and very, very grateful for the prayers, too. Have a wonderfully blessed time, y'all." And then, in parentheses, she says, "See, I'm bilingual." This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so time to talk about gratitude again. Actually, we talk about it often because it's a foundational spiritual practice. Gratitude smooths the way, it opens the floodgates, elevates consciousness, and puts you in a position to receive. It is the Swiss Army knife of spirituality. You can use it to accomplish anything. So here's the law, the spiritual law. We get an abundance of whatever we focus on. And that can be positive or negative. If we focus on negative, we get more of that. Truthfully, there have been a few Thanksgivings in my life when I believed I didn't have anything to be grateful for. I was pretty young then. There was nothing bad going on. There was just nothing exciting, nothing to write home about. I usually had to work on the holiday. I wasn't going to have turkey anywhere. I didn't have a boyfriend. So I concluded there was nothing to be grateful for. And some years that was self-pity. Some years I think it was real depression. There are four levels of gratitude, and that's the first one, no gratitude. These are people who are either grousing about what is, or they feel entitled to have everything and think there should be more. Probably most of us have some periods of no gratitude, but we all know people who live there. Then there is grudging gratitude, which I suppose is a step up. That's being grateful that things aren't worse. You know, I could have even more aches and pains. I could be even more broke. Or I'm grateful the terrorists didn't attack here. And I am grateful, but I recognize the selfish form of gratitude there. The next level is being grateful for our good. Events, people, things, ideas. You can make a long list, and that is powerful gratitude. But it means you don't feel grateful until you have received or noticed something. So the highest level of gratitude is just to be grateful, happy for no reason. Give thanks in all things, the Apostle Paul said. And it's in all things, not necessarily for all things. If you can remember to be grateful even in hard times, you are practicing a high level of spirituality, living in greater awareness. I doubt many of you have a problem being grateful most of the time, but I do know some of you are going through tough times. And gratitude can sometimes feel like an obligation, because you hear all the time, you should make a gratitude list, and you should spend time before you go to bed naming the things you're grateful for that day. And at Thanksgiving, you certainly should be grateful. And sometimes it can feel like whistling in the dark, putting a Band-Aid over pain or difficulty. That's not what we're after. We aren't grateful because we should be. We consciously remember to feel grateful because it's an important spiritual practice. Not as a trick to make us feel better, although there are studies that show gratitude is good for you. And not because God is waiting to be thanked, but because we get an abundance of whatever we're interested in. It's easy to get interested in all the hurt, our own, our loved ones, what we see on the news. It takes more conscious effort to stay interested in what we love and appreciate and the good that we see. Awareness doesn't mean you'll never feel bad. It means you'll catch it sooner. You kind of go into witness mode and notice what you're thinking. Then you can change the trajectory. So in bad times, feel what you feel, but you'll bounce back faster if you practice some gratitude, deliberately noticing and appreciating what is good. No one does this perfectly. We all fall back to sleep, but it can be for briefer periods of time. Your own interests have power. You can be abundant in love and relationships if that's what you're interested in, what you value. And those relationships can be abundant in resentment and blame and who said what and when. It depends on where your attention goes. The universe reflects your interests to you. You know who Michael Beckwith is? New Thought minister. He has the Agape International Spiritual Center in California. So he tells a story about when Agape was getting started, and he used to drive to the office they had rented. And on his way every day, he noticed this homeless man on a particular corner. This was Santa Monica. If you've never lived in a beach town, sometimes they have a lot of homeless because it's warm. So he would see the same man at the same corner. The man carried a sign about why he needed money. The signs changed from time to time. And Michael Beckwith got really interested in him. He started thinking, I wonder what happened to this guy. What could happen in someone's life that would make them end up begging on a corner? And every day he'd see the man as Michael went to work and came home, and he'd wonder how someone could possibly end up living on the street. And then Michael got busy with other things, not good things. Through a series of events, he found out that the IRS said he owed $56,000 in the next 30 days. Then he was told the whole roof on his house had to be replaced. That would be about $18,000. And something else happened. So by the end of it, he owed more than $100,000 almost immediately. And he didn't have it. He didn't have that much equity in his home. And he started to worry he was going to lose his home. And then he realized, this is how someone ends up homeless on the street. He'd been wondering and asking, what happens to a person so they end up homeless? He'd been very interested in it, morning and evening. We get an abundance of whatever we're interested in. So the next day, Michael started blessing that guy. Whatever happened to you, I wish you well. And then some days he would pack a lunch and drop it off for the guy. He invited him to come to church to learn a new way of thinking. Michael stopped paying attention to the problem. Turned out, the IRS had made a mistake. He really owed about $1,200. The roof didn't have to be completely replaced. Overall, the total was about $3,000, not $100,000. And he said he considered it a very low rent lesson in life. And the lesson is, we get an abundance of whatever we're interested in, whatever we pay attention to. The Beckwith story struck me because I spend a lot of time wondering things like, how does someone get through chemo? And what would it be like to lose everything in a flood? I don't want to know. I'm not curious anymore. I'm just going to go around being grateful. So don't look at the problem, look at the good parts. And that doesn't mean the problem isn't there, and you will address it. But where is the majority of your attention? Focus on the good. It's interesting, and I think gratifying, that our two biggest holidays in America are about gratitude and giving, which are so closely linked as spiritual laws. Thanksgiving and Christmas, we have this whole season for gratitude and giving. And of course, one leads to the other and then back again. I'm grateful for all the giving you have done throughout the year. Currently, well, I've told you I'm on the board of the Barnabas Connection now, which is running the Christmas store project. So you all have been donating these new items, and they will be put into a pop-up store at much lower prices, 75 to 80% of retail. And low-income families have applied to shop there. They're allowed to spend $30 to $35, so nobody can buy out the store. The store's only open one day. The families come in shifts. And it gives them the dignity of shopping for their own gifts instead of having a charity basket delivered to their door. They get to pick out exactly what their kids and other family members would like. They get to spend their own money. Not all the churches in town are involved in this. It's us and the Methodists and Cypress Creek Church. Today's the deadline for donations. If you haven't given anything, you can still write a check to the Barnabas Connection. But our teenagers will take that pile of stuff you saw in the fireside room and help set it up in the Christmas store in a couple of weeks. The Rotary Club is providing $500 worth of books. Brian Eccles, the insurance guy, is providing $500 worth of bicycles that he is going to buy and bring. And if you don't want to give items, you can give cash. And that's what Roberto Guerra did, our church member who won the $2,000 drawing at Howling Moon, donated the whole thing for the Christmas store. So if you've been following this saga, there's a new installment. This past week, I went with two other women to buy the gifts for the Christmas store. Let me tell you, it takes hours to spend $2,000. But let me show you. This was the first store. Can you see those are shopping baskets? We had four of them. Everywhere we went, the checkers said, "Are you together?" And then we went to other stores. There's just this massive array of stuff to choose from. But by God, we spent $2,000 before we went home. And I told you last week I was confused that some of them asked for frozen toys. Turns out the world is full of frozen toys. Dolls and pajamas, sheets, games, puzzles, Olaf the talking snowman, Elsa and Anna, the sisters, they are everywhere. Lots of Wimberley children will be getting frozen toys this Christmas. They finally told me, stop putting those in the cart, get something else. So I'm grateful for this chance to give as a church, and it thrills me to think of the kids getting these gifts at Christmas, gifts that their parents bought for them. I was wrong when I was younger to think something big and dramatic had to be going on in my life for me to be grateful. It doesn't have to be big things. If you need to stir up some gratitude, let me remind you of my favorite gratitude exercise. Imagine you have just been dropped off on this planet naked and alone, which is kind of how it happens. You don't know anyone or have anything. What would you need? Well, first, maybe some clothes, and then shelter and food, friends, people to help you, eventually transportation, some kind of income. Later on, you'd think about decorating the house, buying more clothes. You could get some education, figure out how the language works, how the money works. And one day you would subscribe to Netflix. When you start from zero, you realize how much you already have to be grateful for. So many things that you need, you have already. You could write a long, long list of things that you have before you remember, yeah, I could use a new laptop, and I'd love to take a cruise. Every day, life presents us with people, places, and events to be grateful for. But mostly it just presents us with more life, so we can practice being grateful in all things. Brother David Steindl-Rost is a Benedictine monk, originally from Vienna. He worked with Thomas Merton. He studied with Buddhist Zen masters. He's lectured all over the world. He's 89 now, lives in a monastery in New York State. His whole life's work has boiled down to gratitude. He calls it the gentle power. He has a website, gratefulness.org, and he's very clear that gratitude includes the small stuff. He says, grateful living is a way of life which asks us to notice all that is already present and abundant, from the tiniest things of beauty to the grandest of our blessings, and in so doing, to take nothing for granted. I thought you might like to hear from him directly. So let this 5-minute video be our meditation today. You can just relax and become comfortable. We'll dim the lights. You can close your eyes or you can watch these beautiful images as you listen to Brother David Steindl-Rast.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now, and the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life, and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather, and even of the weather we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, it's unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. Story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you, that everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. then it will really be a good day.